Genesis chapter 31 and the 13th verse, and then we'll read a few more passages as we enter into the Word of God. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out of this land and return to the land of your kindred. Genesis chapter 35, verse 5 to verse 8. And then we're going to skip down and go to the 13th verse to the 15th verse. Genesis 35 from verse 5 to the 8th verse. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. Now we're in Genesis 35 from the 13th verse to the 15th verse. Genesis 35 verse 13 to verse 15. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. And the last scripture now we're going to read before we get into the word further is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Oh, it's going to be good here today. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Thank you, Holy Spirit. One thing that troubles all of us is unfinished projects. That unfinished course or degree, that unfinished task, whatever it is, that unfinished book that you began to read or to write. How many of us get that nagging feeling when it comes to remembering unfinished business? I want to speak to you today on the subject, no more unfinished business. Can you tell your neighbor today, no more unfinished business? Jacob had some unfinished business with God. He had made a vow when he was running away from his brother Esau, came to a place in the middle of nowhere called Luz, and in his desperation, he made a vow to God. He said, if you will bless me, I'm going to come back to this place where I found this stone and I saw the heavens open. And I saw angels ascending and descending upon this place. And I heard your voice in this place promising me that you'll keep covenant with me. He said, then I took that stone and anointed it with the oil that I had. And I made a vow that I'll come back to that place. And when I come back, I'm not going to come back empty-handed. I'm going to bring a tithe of everything that you have blessed me with. And so Jacob goes to be with Laban, his uncle, recommended by his own mother, who told him to go to his uncle Laban. And 20 years later, God reminds him of unfinished business. It's good to start. It's even better to continue what you've started. But it's great to complete what you started. We need to start. We need to continue and persevere. We need to commit to what we start. We need to continue with what we begin. But then we also need to finish. I have come to realize that if one has started something, what keeps you motivated to continue and to continue to commit to what you started is when your eyes are set on the finish. The Bible says about Jesus Christ that he bore the cross despising the shame because he was looking to the future when he would have many sons to glory. What helped Jesus commit and to persevere in his journey through the cross was because he wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking at what would happen afterwards. He was looking at the finish line. He was looking at the day when, because of his sacrifice, he would see many, many multitudes from every nation, from every tongue, from every race, from every kindred, from every country under the heavens, standing before the throne of his Father, worshiping the Lamb of God. He looked at the finish line. And because his eyes were set on the finish line, he was able to continue to commit and to continue. Someone say, commit and continue. Commit and continue. And when our eyes are set on the finish, we'll be able to continue to commit and to continue. Perhaps in the case of Joseph, or Jacob rather, God was breaking a pattern of leaving things unfinished. Yes. We can and we do develop habits of leaving things unfinished. We can and we do create patterns of leaving unfinished business. And I'm guilty as charged. Like many, many of us, I am convinced, have been guilty of the same thing. Jacob had already created a pattern of unfinished business. He had left his family without saying goodbye. He had left his senior and aged mom and dad. He had left his brother without apologizing for having stolen his birthright. Someone say, unfinished business. When the Bible says, get your house in order, what it means is deal with the unfinished business. Deal with the things that you know that you should have been doing or should have done and did not do. Jacob had made a promise to God, as I said, and had never fulfilled it. 20 years had passed, but God hadn't forgotten. And then we read the passage of Zerubbabel that built the temple, but only built the foundation. And for a good 14 years, the work had been stopped. For many reasons, they were stopped by force of arms, by threats of the military. And Zerubbabel had come to a point, I would expect, where he thought, okay, maybe it was for me to just start. Maybe it was for me just to lay the foundation, and maybe someone else will come along after me and will finish where I left off. But God gives him a very, very clear word through Zechariah. He says, the hands that lay the foundation are the very hands that will finish the work. Hallelujah. Telling us that God is passionate about us finishing what we start. Ask your neighbor, what have you begun? Now that would be an open question with 15,000 answers. What did you start? Utaleni. And where is it now? Where are things now of the things that you began? Because leaving things incomplete can become a negative pattern for our lives. We can start relationships and leave them and dump them and abandon them in the middle. Maybe for whatever reasons. I understand if something is not from God, then by all means, that God wasn't in it in the beginning. But when you start something, you've got to commit to it. You've got to continue in it and bring it to its completion. And of course, in the case, and I keep on coming back to this because it is important. Young man, if you started something with a young lady, finish it. Tell your neighbor, finish it. Someone say, no more unfinished business. Don't be ghosting. Oh, I know about ghosting. Don't be ghosting. You started it. You made the move. You made the call. You sent the text. You created an expectation. Now finish it. Finish what you start, because if you don't finish what you start, you'll create a pattern. And you'll think it's normal to start things and not finish. By the way, when I say finish, I mean marry. Yeah, boy. If that's what you started, I'm not just talking about a friend, but if that's what you started, then finish what you started. Do not abandon the project because there are delays and there are challenges. Finish it. You know, when it comes to this marriage thing, and I want to say this from time to time, it's not about a big white wedding. It's not about that. It's about finishing what you started. And we have already said, and we will continue to say, we have had weddings in this church on a Sunday morning. No white dress, no bridesmaid, no cake, none of that. Usually it's just a wedding ring. doesn't matter how much it costs. Just get a ring and spray paint it gold. I don't care. It's a symbol. She will care. She will definitely care. But I don't care. Because the ring is not even in the Bible. It's a symbol. Okay? But my point is, none of that, no caterers, no invitations to a wedding. We are finished, start and finish 10 minutes. Done. Man and wife. And you can go in peace. It doesn't have to be 15,000 cows. Tell your neighbor, finish, mzalwane, finish, finish, finish. Qeda. Qedela. Finish what you started. Aibo. The poor lady is left hanging for 5 years on a promise. Time is going. Yambaskat. Huh? And there's the guy thinking about it. Still pondering cows. I make a plan, man. Tell you to make a plan. Make a plan. Make a plan, man. I make a plan. Aibo. Oh, you are driving a car worth 150,000, 200,000, and you made a plan. Now you can't lobola. Make a plan. Make a plan. Theta. Finish. What you started. Someone shout, no more unfinished business. It's nice in here, eh? We can develop a habit, this kind of habit of leaving things unfinished from those who influence us, because we pick up habits. Yes, and of course we can pick them up from our parents. Yes. We can pick up habits from our parents who leave unfinished business, who left things undone. And they were buried, but there was unfinished business. Now the family is busting each other's heads over matters that should have been finished by the parents. Now they're fighting over who owns what, who must take what, because the parents left certain matters unfinished. And we can pick up habits from our parents. We can pick up habits from our friends. Because the people who, let me say this, this is what people say, and I don't disagree with it. You are the people, the five people that are closest to you. I'll say that again. You are the five closest people to you. Don't fool yourself. You are them. So be careful who your closest people are. And your friends can become non-finishers, dropouts out of high school, dropouts out of college, dropouts out of relation. Are you for what I'm saying? Start a job, and then just because now there's a demand on you, nothing wrong, but now the work is difficult, the work is demanding, now you don't finish. So habits of not finishing can come from the people around us, can come from our siblings, our brothers and our sisters. We can pick up habits of not finishing things. And all of us might be able to relate to that. We can develop this habit or this pattern of not finishing things from low self-esteem. What I mean by that is that low self-esteem can make you believe that you can't finish what you started. that you're not capable. So that is where leaving things undone can come from, because of a low self-esteem. And we cancel that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's why we share the word of God, to build up your self-esteem that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, that no matter what your exposure has been in your family, your friends, your siblings, your environment, your high school friends, your neighbors, you are not conformed to this world, but we are what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that the habits, the patterns that they have, we will not adopt them and keep them as part of our lives, because they stand in the way of our destiny. Sometimes we can develop this pattern of not finishing things because of meeting the low expectations of others. I was sharing this amongst us in the Kingsmen High Table, just about men. And I was saying, men, one of the things that we really need to address as far as men are concerned, in all ourselves, all the men, is that one of the reasons why men often seem to be the problem and seem to come short is because at the home level, that is, at the family level, the expectation placed upon a man or a young man is not the same as the expectations placed upon a young woman. So you find that the mother says to the daughter, hey, boss nagan to bazan, take care of yourself. You know, you must take care of your body. Take care. You know, you must study. You know, you must get a job. And you must excel, you know, and be careful, you know, who you hang around with, and be careful of that guy. You don't want to have a baby before it's time and all that. But when it comes to the man, we just let them do. So long as he's not in jail and he's not on drugs, whatever. Zobon and fun, zobon. And when it comes to chores, no, you must do the dishes. Hey, you must clean. Your room must be clean. But the guy's room is a mess. And we don't have the same expectations of young men than we have of young women. Now, when they grow, we then wonder why we have problems with our men. But the fundamental problem is that you don't expect anything from them. And we are all made in such a way that we rise to the expectations that are placed on our lives. When people believe in you, you tend to rise to that. When people don't believe in you, you tend to fall to that. And so because most men have never had someone who believes in them, they fall to the level of the expectation. But he's going to focus on the girl. Did you study? You know, did you do this? Did you do that? But the guy is going to be left there with no expectations. And then when they go through life underperforming, then people are surprised. But the real reason is that there's been low expectations placed on many of us as young men. Now, I just thank God that I was blessed. I grew up different to that. And my father and mother had four boys and two girls. And they placed great expectations on us because they believed in us. Not about pressure. It's about the fact that they believed that we can. They believe that we can do whatever we want to do. They believe that you can be wherever you want to be. You can study whatever you want to study. All you need to do is make a commitment and apply yourself. But you've got the brains. You've got the genes. You're not stupid. Now it's up to you what you do with what you have. And so we enter into life with expectations that I can do some stuff. Tell your neighbor, I can do some stuff. I'm helping some young men here because that is a pernicious problem that we end up self-sabotaging because of low expectations placed on us. And I canceled that statement years ago. It started coming out in the social media, and all men are dogs. I canceled that in Jesus' name because what that is saying, yes, that is just cursing every man that comes your way. Because you cannot believe that and expect that something different is going to happen. But on the other hand, the men themselves are affected by that because now when they believe that and internalize that, they're going to manifest that. So I never speak that stuff. I cancel that stuff in the name of Jesus. I think men are the greatest things that God did on this planet. Glory to God. But I also believe that that wasn't good enough. God had to give them the greatest help that man needed and place her on this planet too and called her woman. And the man and woman are the most unstoppable force on the planet on the earth. Hallelujah. It's not a competition. God made them both great in their own space, in their own way. And we must have positive expectations of our young men in particular. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, that's a good place to praise the Lord. I'm talking about the habit or the pattern of leaving things unfinished. Is that we end up affirming it, whether consciously or unconsciously, and it becomes a life habit, almost an expectation. There was a day, I don't even know if people in this generation know that figure of speech, but it came out in the 50s and maybe the 60s, and there was this statement that was made about young men, and that was that at a certain stage in their lives, they must sow their wild oats. Have you heard that statement? Okay, you haven't heard about it. In other words, they must just go wild. At a certain point, even if people get pregnant along the way, that's their wild oat stage. And that was a seed placed in the concept of the teenager. I want to tell you that the term teenager never emerged until the 1950s. There were no teenagers before 1950. There was only young women, young men, or children. But once you came to a teenage stage, you were a young man or a young woman. The concept teenager was accommodating a space in a person's life where they would be irresponsible and it's okay. And that is the stage where habits are created. That is the stage where patterns are created. That stage we call teenage. That stage where the world says, this is the time to do whatever. Just go wild. You're a teenager. Do anything you like. No, don't do anything you like, because anything you sow, you are going to reap. So these patterns of unfinished business come at those stages where society has made it okay. Now, in the old days, the reason why they were called young men, young women, because everybody had responsibilities. Everybody in the house had things to do. Today we call them chores, and that's just small things, but in those days, they started working. And I'm not saying I'm supporting child labor, but I'm saying I am supporting creating a pattern and a habit of productivity and responsibility. Amen. And the Jewish people practice it today. The Muslims practice it today. When a Jewish child comes from school, they don't just goof off for 5 hours and then, oh, I got homework. No, they immediately after school, they go to work in their father's business. 13 years old, they're behind the till. You've seen them. You've seen those Muslim girls, 16 years of age, and they're already the boss in mom and dad's company. That's why they don't have the problems we have, because there's no teenager where it's okay just to be unproductive, useless, fruitless, destructive, do whatever nonsense, and it's okay. Someone say, it's not okay. Because you're sowing seeds and you're creating habits. Habits that will be hard to break. Then you end up with a 45-year-old who is still a teenager. Whew, how did I get here? Lord, have mercy. Help me out of here. I'm getting up. So we can develop this pattern because of the tendency to look for the easy path and avoiding the tough parts of pursuing anything worthwhile. See, everything begins with a honeymoon stage. Everything. I don't care what it is. It's going to start with a honeymoon stage. For example, oh, I'm going to join the Gateway Music Ministry. I'm going to join the band. Woohoo! Wonderful. Everybody's excited. Oh, so-and-so's joined the band. So-and-so's the music ministry. It doesn't matter what it is. But then the work begins. Now you must show up for rehearsals. Now you must practice your part. Now you must master your skill. It's not fun anymore. It's work now. Now you're accountable. Hi. No. Come on. We've rehearsed this 3 times. You're still messing up. Come on, guys. You're not working this. You have to get past your feelings. Pass your emotions about it and understand now it's a commitment that I must continue in, but my eye is on the finish line. I'm going to finish. I'm going to become the person that I wanted to be when I entered this group. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what it is. And you say, oh, I want to pursue my passion. Yes, wonderful. Let's say your passion is to be a chef. Wonderful. So you find a chef school, you enroll, hey, there you are in your chef outfit, uniform, whatever they wear. You got your brand new knives, you're flashing them, and you're ready and you're excited about being a chef. Wonderful. And then now you must do the assignments. You bake a cake, it flops. You get an F. You bake it again, it half flops. You get a D. You bake it again, you get a C. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're like, ay, boy, this cake, ay, porana, man. I don't want to bake, I just want to cook meat. No, the course was for everything. You must pass it all. Not just braying, shisanyama, no. You must commit and you must keep your eye on the prize that one day I'm going to be a chef. I'm going to own my own restaurant. I'm going to produce the best cuisine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must finish. Doesn't matter what it is, you're going to go past the honeymoon stage. You join a church. Oh, excited. This is the best church in the world. Every church is when you come in. Oh, there's no better church than this. And then once you are in and you start working and you start serving, then you start seeing, hey, there are people here. And some of these people, you start realizing not everything is perfect.
You start realizing, man, why don't we do it this way? Why are we doing it that way? That doesn't make sense. You start seeing stuff when you're inside, and that's not the time to dump and drop what you started. You have to commit and continue. Someone say, commit and continue. Because this is life. Tell your neighbor, this is life. I'm so concerned about this generation that thinks that everything must be a honeymoon all the time. And you get married. Oh, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful wedding dress. And all the bridesmaids were just on point. The groomsmen, boy, did you see the way we entered into the reception? Hey, our step, man, I tell you, it was alive. It was happening. Oh, the cake was amazing. Yes, wonderful. Please enjoy that. Enjoy the honeymoon. Let it continue. But then you wake up one morning and say, how did I get here? Not with my case, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But in usual cases, my case is unusual. But yeah, it's another day in the hood. We got to get up, wake up the kids, get them washed, get them dressed. We're late. Pangisa, hurry up. We're going. The traffic is waiting outside. They're going to be late. I'm going to be late. Come on. Let's get. Someone says live. You must commit and continue. Keep your eye on the prize. That this is the best family that I'll ever experience. I'm a part of it. This is going to be the most incredible family in the world. These are the most amazing children. Glory to God. I have the most amazing spouse, the most amazing marriage. Glory to God. And the more you maintain that attitude is the more you extend your honeymoon. Glory to God. But we have a generation today, the first sign of problem, they dump everything. The first sign of real life. Now they've gone through 3 months and they're freshmen, first year university, and oh boy, they got all their stuff and they got all their classes together. They're meeting new people. They got friends and hey, it's happening. There's vibing in the campus. What? Then the assignments start. Yeah. Then the first exams come. The wake-up call. We'll call Nana. Are you a student or are you a partier? And then there's a separation between the students and the partiers. And they dump it. No, it's not for me. No, your problem is not it's not for you. It's because you don't meet the requirements. You don't have this tenacity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To commit to something. May God help us to commit to things and continue in things and finish things that we start in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what it is that you start doing. I don't care if you want to start an exercise program or go on a diet and lose weight. It doesn't matter. You'll start with the honeymoon phase, and then you have to commit and continue without emotions or feelings about it. And then you begin to see the results. You see the benefits, and then you continue until the end and you finish. Can someone say amen? Sometimes we develop this negative pattern by being distracted by the things that are urgent but are not important. Okay, let me just take you to a little bit of a school here. The 7 Habits of Truly Successful People, Stephen Covey, talks about the importance of distinguishing what is urgent from what is important. Okay, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But an urgent thing means it must be addressed right now, okay? Otherwise, it's a crisis.
Got it. Okay, it's an urgent thing. But sometimes an urgent thing is not urgent to you. It's urgent to somebody else. And you are roped in into someone else's emergency, and yet you've got important things to do. Now, sometimes you make the sacrifice, you help out somebody, but if you make it a habit of doing the urgent and leaving the important, I'll explain to you what it is, what some examples of what I'm talking about, you'll end up with a crisis. So, for example, you're a student, and you've got these assignments, okay? That's urgent. It is important, but let me just, for the sake of this simple illustration, there's a test coming, there's an assignment. It's an easy one, but nonetheless, it's due, okay? So you do that. But then what's important is to study. So you can be so busy doing what is urgent. Okay, what's for tomorrow? What's due tomorrow? What do I have to do for tomorrow? And each day you're living like that as a student, and then when the exam, then you finally realize, wait a minute, it's finals in a week. And you haven't studied the whole semester what was important and was left because of the urgent becomes a crisis. So sometimes we leave things unfinished because we're living from critical thing to critical thing. Sometimes we need to stop, take a breath, and ask ourselves, what is important? Because if I don't deal with what is important, then I'll end up with a crisis, and I'll be living from crisis to crisis. I'll leave you there. I'll workshop you another day. Hallelujah. So, sometimes we develop this negative pattern of leaving things unfinished because of the fear of failure. This is a good one. Or the fear of success. Now, in my case, because I already told you my story, thank God our parents always believed in us. And very few of us had an issue of low self-esteem because of how we were brought up. However, my challenge was not the fear of failure. That has never been my concern. I realized later in life that my personal challenge was the fear of success. I finally came to have a conversation with myself and confronted myself and said, Beggy, your problem, you're afraid to succeed. And I asked myself, why? Why am I afraid to succeed? And I thought about it. I said, the reason I'm afraid to succeed, number one, I'm afraid of success going to my head. And becoming proud. And I didn't want to be proud and puffed up. But another reason I dug a little deeper, I realized that success comes with pressure to sustain it. Now you must keep it up. You are successful here. And everybody's clapping for you. Now they're expecting you to continue. And I found that subconsciously my concern was, will I be able to sustain the expectations that success brings? Because people who are successful are expected to continue to succeed. And so I had to come to terms with it and bring it to God and say, Lord, you have to help me here and deliver me from this fear of success. Who am I talking to right now? Because I know I'm talking to a lot of people. And when I talk about the fear of failure, I know I'm talking to a lot of people too. But these are the things that cause us to stop things. And just when you're about to break through and you sense it's about to happen, we psychologically self-sabotage.
And we defeat ourselves. Oh, maybe it's too much. Maybe it's not time. Maybe it's too early. Maybe this project is too big. You know, I don't know where this is going. No. We bind that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. Someone say, it's my time. And I'm breaking through in Jesus' name. And the grace that brought you to where you are is the grace that will sustain you where you are going. It is by the grace of God that you will not fall into the trap of pride. It is by the grace of God that you will not fail. It is by the grace of God that you will prevail. Can I hear a loud amen? You started by grace. You continue by grace. You're going to finish by the grace of God. When you hold on to the grace of God, oh, glory to God, will sustain you whether things get better or things don't get better. It is the grace of God that will keep you so that even at the top of the mountain, you can give glory to God and say, it is the grace of God that brought me to where I am right now. I was at the bottom of the heap. I was at the bottom of the pile, but God lifted me up and God brought me here, and I'm standing here by the grace of Almighty God. And guess what? I am going higher from here, because he that began a good work in me shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Someone say, God can keep somebody. Give your neighbor a high five and say, God will keep you. Glory to God. Oh, I feel like preaching this thing. There's no need to fear success. There's no need to fear your name being in bright lights. If you know where you're standing, if you know your God, he will be with you in the limelight. He'll be with you in the darkness. He'll be with you when things are good. He'll be with you when things are bad. He'll be with you when you are famous. He'll be with you when people forget you. He'll be with you always until the end of the age. Someone shout amen. I have been to the mountaintop. Yes, I have. Hallelujah. I have been a celebrity where I was a household name. I have been there on all the screens of the time. I have been there when everybody was clapping. And I've been there when nobody knew me. I have been there when nobody wanted to mention my name. And I know my God is able to keep you, whether you're on top or you are not on top. So fear not, because God is with you. Someone shout, God is with me. And we can, I'm going to close in a minute. We can develop this negative pattern because of confusing activity with accomplishment. Confusing activity with accomplishment. This is how we can leave many things unfinished. Let me go straight to the chase. If you're to audit your activities of the day, audit yourself from hour to hour. What did I do? You will find out where you need to improve. I made an audit some time ago, and I realized I was spending too much time on social media. Just too much for me. I'm not speaking for somebody else. Maybe unemployed or whatever. But I was active. Like, share, get reels, get... I was active, but I was not accomplishing anything.
Tell your neighbor, activity is not accomplishment. What are you accomplishing?
Time wasters. And meantime, important things are left unfinished because I'm busy. Everybody busy today, even an 8-year-old. You'll see them on that thing. Everybody busy. But how many people are accomplishing?
You know, some of these things will wake you up when you really hear them. But the most successful people in the world, especially the richest people in the world, I found out a long time ago, they don't watch television. They just don't. That's before social media put everything on social media. They don't spend time, too much time on entertainment. Entertainment has its place. Oh, Lord, why am I here? Entertainment has its place. I'll tell you the place of entertainment. Entertainment has its place when you have worked. And now you are resting. But if you have not worked, you don't deserve entertainment. Because entertainment is a reward for working. So with a whole world that are entertaining themselves and creating a habit of thinking, I must be rewarded before I work. Hooked on entertainment, YouTube and this and that. And these things are addictive. It's scientifically proven. These dopamine hits are addictive and we want to be entertained. We are active. We are full of activity. We are responding. We are posting. And some things are legitimate. The question is, what are you accomplishing? In other words, if you continue this way, in 3 years' time, what will you have accomplished?
I'll leave it there. Someone say ouch or say amen. Talk about things that rob us from finishing what we start. Because only those who finish get the prize. There are no rewards for good intentions. Preach, beg you, preach. Hallelujah. There are no rewards for good intentions. I meant to. I thought I would. I was trying to. I wish I did. There's no reward for that. There's no award in the world of the best intention award. Only those who finish get the trophy.
Hey, tell you never finish him, so I don't want to finish.
Because God is committed to completing what he began. I've already quoted Philippians 1 verse 6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, I need to say that again. Put it up on the screen. Paul is saying, I am confident, I am reassured, help me, Holy Ghost, of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me is able to perform it or to complete it even to the day of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that God completes what he starts. Hallelujah. He is committed to what he began. Glory to God. He doesn't leave things halfway. He doesn't drop things because it gets tough. He doesn't give up because the children of Israel did not believe on him for 40 years in a wilderness. He was committed to his promise. He had said to Abraham, your seed and your children's seed shall be as the stars in the sky, as the sand upon the seashore, and I'm gonna give you the land in which you are a stranger. So from the time of Abraham, God began something. He continued it with Isaac and Jacob, and he continued it even with the children of Israel. And because of what God said to Abraham, he had to take Joseph to Egypt to preserve the family of Isaac. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they wouldn't die in the famine, because God had in mind, I'm going to finish what I began. I made a promise to Abraham, so I must bless Jacob. I must bless Joseph. I must bless all the 12 tribes of Israel. I must make sure that they are okay. I must keep them in Goshen. I must preserve them, even if it's 400 years. I'm going to keep my hand upon them. I'm going to take them out. I'm going to cross the Red Sea with them. I'm going to take them through the wilderness. I'm going to open up the Red Sea. Jordan River must open. Oh, God. Jordan must open for somebody right now. Jordan, open up in the name of Jesus. You must open so your people, God, can come through. Shout, yeah. Shout, I'm crossing my Jordan. Give your neighbor a high five and say, Jordan, get away, Jordan. Get out of my way. God made a promise. God gave me a word. God gave me a prophecy. God is committed to it. He is connected to it. And he will finish what he started. Give God a praise. Hey, Lord. Oh, I can preach this thing until the cows come home. But let me close. You see, you need to know that finishing what you begin is bigger than just you. Finishing what you start is bigger than just you. It's about the destinies of those who are connected to your destiny. There are people you don't know that depend on you finishing. If you don't finish, they've got nowhere to start. Hey, Labo Shaya Baka. It's bigger than you. It's about unborn generations. It's about people you don't know that need you to finish, that need you to get there, because that is their starting point. They need you to run your race, because they're waiting in their lane, waiting for the baton from you. And if you don't bring them the baton, they can't run. They're waiting. Oh, Labo Shaya. And the more you delay, is the more you're delaying somebody who's waiting for you to finish what you started, so they can take off in their race. Give yourself a high five and tell yourself you are finishing. Oh, I feel this thing now. I feel it pushing. You can no longer be complacent, because somebody is waiting for you to get there so that they can begin to take. I feel somebody's about to take off. Somebody's about to get moving. On your marks, gets it. I said, on your mark, get set, get up on your feet. You're gonna do this on the spot because I don't want you hurting nobody. On your mark, get set. Tell your neighbor, give me some room. You might need to do a little stretching, because somebody right now is about to accelerate. Somebody right now is getting a baton. Somebody right now is going to finish what they began. On your mark, get set, go! Start running your race. I'm running my race. I'm running my race. Oh God. Give God a praise. Let me close. No more unfinished business. From today onwards, you will finish what you started. You will see full restoration. And we as a church are seeing and will see the full restoration of our land. We will build and we'll finish strong. I said we will build. I said we will build. And we will finish strong. We will finish what we started. Our prayer and worship center is going to get up. It's going to rise up in record time. We will build and complete our 7,000-seater crown dome. God began it, and we are committed to it, and we have continued in it, and we will finish it. The hands that lay the foundation shall finish it. Someone shout amen. We will build and complete the city of hope. We will see the fulfillment of the vision of this house in our time. Now lift up those hands, because I break every spirit, every habit, every pattern, every curse of abandoned projects. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I decree that from today, every curse, every limitation, every restriction, every habit, every pattern is broken now. And we will finish what we begin from this time on. In Jesus' name, give God a praise. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those of you who are online, I speak that word over your life. No more unfinished business in Jesus' name. God gives you and I the grace to commit and to continue in the things that He has put into our hands to do. You shall begin to see projects fulfilled one after the other. You shall begin to see long-standing unfinished projects begin to get accomplished in the mighty name of Jesus. And no longer are you going to accumulate unfinished business in your life in the mighty name of Jesus, but purpose shall be fulfilled. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Because right now, I'm giving an opportunity to somebody to make a commitment. This commitment is of your life. Yes, Jesus committed His life. He put Himself out there in every way possible, hung on a tree, to let you know He loves you. He died for you. He made the way for you to be saved. He never reneged on His commitment. He has never pulled back. Even now, he ever lives to make intercession for his people. He is committed to the end. One day he's coming back because he's committed. He hasn't forgotten, but he will come back because he said he would. But you're saying, I need to make a commitment of my life to Jesus. That's what he wants, to be a disciple, to be committed. Wherever you are, raise up your hand to say, I'm making this commitment. I'm committing my life to Jesus. I trust him with my life, with my destiny, with my future, with everything that is within me. I'm trusting Jesus from today. I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise your hand wherever you are. I'm making a commitment. I see a hand. God bless you, sir. I see a hand, young lady. God bless you, ma'am. I see a hand back there. God bless you, sir. God bless you. I'm making a commitment. And I'm going to the finish line with Jesus. I'm going all the way. I'm not stopping by the grace of God. If that is you, raise your hand and come to the front right now. Please give them a big encouragement. Come, 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 come. That's right, that's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I saw a hand of a young lady. Yes, here she is. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Come step a little bit further. One step. Yes, so some people can stand behind you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? I'm making a commitment, quality decision to follow Jesus. Putting my faith in Jesus. He put his faith in me. That he put everything on the line because he believed in me, that I was worth it. How can I hold back from somebody that believes in me that much? You're saying, I'm giving my life to Jesus, who believed in me enough to lay it all on the line, to say, this one is worth the sacrifice. I'm putting it all on the line. Anybody else? Come. Come right now. Glory to God. Let's pray together with these who have come. Follow me in this prayer. Those of you here in the front and those of us who are standing with you right now, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your commitment to save me to the uttermost, to finish what you start in my life. I give my life to you. I commit it to you now. Save me, Lord Jesus. Make me what you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.